Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building a tape-hazed bass wobble in Ableton Live 12, using resampling to get that old-school jungle and early D&B character without losing control of the low end. The whole idea is simple. We start with a basic bass idea in MIDI, print it to audio, then shape the audio until it feels worn, unstable, and musical. Think tape deck, overdriven preamp, a few bounce generations, and that slightly murky energy that sits so well under breaks. Why this works in D&B is because the bass is not just a sound. It's part of the groove, part of the mix balance, and part of the identity of the track. If you keep one synth patch doing everything live, it can end up too clean, too static, or too wide in the wrong places. Resampling lets you commit to a character, then carve that character with much more precision. So let's start simple. Create a new MIDI track and load a stock instrument like operator, wave eatable, or analog. Don't overthink the sound design yet. This is not about building the final bass in the synth. It's about creating a solid source that will become interesting once it's printed. Keep the part low and simple. A two-note or three-note loop is perfect. Short notes work better than long-held notes at this stage, because they leave space for the kick and snare to breathe. If the synth is too bright, low pass it somewhere around 150 to 500 Hz. Keep the attack near zero, the release short to medium, and only use a tiny bit of detune if it helps the sound feel alive. What to listen for here is whether the bass already feels heavy enough in the low end. It doesn't need to be exciting yet. It just needs to have a believable core. Now put that bass next to a drum loop or your main break. This is where the part starts becoming D&B instead of just a bass line. Program the phrase so it works with the snare, not against it. Leave space where the snare hits. Let one note land slightly before or after a kick if you want more momentum. A very common old-school move is to make bar 1 feel established, then change one small detail in bar 2. What to listen for now is the pocket. Does the bass support the break, or does it flatten it? If the bass makes the drums feel smaller, your notes are probably too long or too busy. Keep the phrase lean. Let the break speak. Before you resample, give the source a little attitude with a simple processing chain. A good starting point is EQ8 to cut useless rumble below roughly 25 to 35 Hz, then saturator for a bit of drive, and then auto-filter to shape the tone. If you want a slightly nastier front end, put the saturator first, then the filter, then EQ8. That way the distortion reacts before the filter tames it. Don't go heavy too early. A few dB of drive is usually enough to give the resample some grit. The point is not to make it huge. The point is to make it print with a little memory in it. Now record that bass to a new audio track. Capture a few bars, not just one. A four-bar pass is useful, because it gives you variation and tails to choose from later. This is the key move. Once the bass is audio, you can treat it like raw material instead of a fixed synth preset. If the MIDI phrase already feels wrong against the drums, stop and fix that first. Don't print a bad groove and then try to rescue it with processing. That's one of the quickest ways to end up in edit hell. Once you have the audio, build the wobble from the resample rather than from endless synth tweaks. Use auto filter on the audio clip or track and automate the cutoff, or shape it with whatever movement method you prefer in Live 12. You've got two great directions here. One is the dubby old school wobble. Slower filter movement, wider arcs, a heavy smoky feel. That's great for rollers and jungle influenced sections, where the bass needs to feel like it's breathing in and out. The other is a tighter murky bounce. Shorter swings, more rhythmic pulse, a bit more urgency. That's better if you want the bass to lock harder with the drums while still keeping that retro texture. Use the cutoff movement to make the bass change tone, not to make it disappear every hit. A good range might be somewhere between 150 Hz and 1.2 kHz depending on the source, but the real rule is simple. The low end must survive. If every wobble makes the sub vanish, the bass is going to feel weak on a system. What to listen for here is movement, not just effect. The wobble should feel like the bass is talking. It should not sound like a volume pump or a random filter gimmick. Keep the resonance modest too. Too much resonance and the wobble starts whistling instead of grooving. Now let's bring in the tape haze part. On the resampled audio, add another gentle chain after the wobble movement. Saturator is your friend here. Redux can work too, but only very lightly. You can also use drum bus in a subtle way if the line needs a little extra density. Finish with EQ8 to shave off any harsh fizz. The goal is not destruction. It's softening. It's that slightly degraded, printed, worn-down feel that makes old-school jungle bass so alive. A tiny bit of roughness goes a long way. If you overdo it, the bass gets brittle fast and loses its weight. Why this works in D&B is because the drums still need to own the transients. The bass should be thick and characterful, but the snare and kick need room to hit. That worn tape-style texture helps the bass sit under breaks instead of fighting them. At this point, start editing the audio like a drummer would edit a break. Trim a tail. Shorten one note. Duplicate a hit. Remove the wobble for half a bar before a fill. These tiny edits are where the bass starts acting like part of the rhythm section instead of just a synth line. A really effective trick is to keep the first bar stable, then change only one note or one tail in the second bar. That small difference keeps the loop moving without losing the identity of the phrase. You do not need to reinvent the bass every two bars. You just need enough motion to keep the listener engaged. What to listen for now is tension. Does the edit increase the energy without breaking the groove? Does the bass feel like it's answering the drums in short sentences? If it does, you're in the right place. Before you move on, check the bass in mono. Keep the main weight centered. Don't widen the body of the bass unless you absolutely need to, and if you do, keep that width up in the higher texture only. The actual low end should stay solid and center. This is a big one indeed, NB. A bass line can sound huge in solo and still fall apart the moment the track hits a club system, if the low end is too wide or too loose. So audition it with the kick and snare. Then listen in mono. If the kick disappears, reduce the bass level first before reaching for heavy compression. Often the fix is less about squeezing and more about trimming the right frequencies. A good habit is to check the resample three ways: soloed for texture, with kick and snare for pocket, and in mono for survival. If it only sounds good in solo, it probably needs more discipline. Once the groove is working, commit to it. In this workflow, printing to audio is not a limitation. It is the point. That's where the old school character really starts to come alive. Keep one version a little darker and more filtered, and make a second version a little more open or a little dirtier. Use one for the first phrase of the drop, then switch to the other for the second phrase. That gives you arrangement movement without changing the core identity of the bass. And that's very D&B. Repetition is fine, but the second phrase should evolve. Even a small change in filter position or note length can make the drop feel much bigger. A few bonus coaching thoughts here. Keep the sub simple and let the resampled texture do the expressive work. Use filter movement more than pitch movement if you want minus. A bass that shifts tone in a controlled way often feels more threatening than one that jumps all over the place. And if the line feels too clean, don't jump straight to extreme distortion. Two gentle passes of saturation or degradation usually sound more believable than one brutal pass. If you want a darker result, try making one print more closed and using it as the shadow layer under a slightly more open version. That contrast can make the whole drop feel bigger without making the bass shiny. So here's the recap. Start with a simple low MIDI bass. Phrase it around the break. Add a little controlled grit before you print. Resample it to audio. Shape the wobble with filter movement. Add tape haze with light saturation and careful degradation. Keep the sub stable, mono compatible, and disciplined. Then create a second phrase or second print so the drop keeps evolving. If the result feels worn, hypnotic, and heavy, but still leaves room for the drums, you've got the sound. Now try the practice move. Build a 4-bar tape-hazed wobble with one MIDI bass source, one resampled audio pass, and only stock Ableton devices. Keep the body mono, and make a second version for the last two bars with a small change in filter movement or note length. Then check it with the drums, and check it in mono. That's the real test. And if you want to push it further, take on the 16-bar challenge. One bass idea, two audio versions, one darker, one more open, and at least one small phrase edit. That's how you start turning a simple bass line into a proper D&B drop. Keep it tight, keep it characterful, and let the resample do the talking.